Brett Schilke sat in a back room of Singularity University's Mountain View headquarters, talking about the future. Since his school days, he'd been on a mission to revolutionize learning. "I was that kid," he said. "I was like, tell me why I have to learn this." I had one teacher who just pissed me off. He had the same answer every time I asked. It might be a question on who wants to be a millionaire, and I was like, you literally can't come up with anything better than that. Can I leave? Schilke had worked in education since he graduated from college, where, naturally, he excelled. He was an unashamed enthusiast, an adventurer, educator, and instigator who, welcome to California, loved stories, puns, and high fives. After starting out running cultural, arts, and education development programs in Siberia and Transylvania, yes, the former gets cold, no, the latter does not have vampires, he had returned a few years earlier to the Midwest to run Idea Co., an education non-profit whose projects included City X, a problem-solving and 3D printing curriculum for kids. He then joined Singularity University, the organization set up by the High Priest of Futurology and author of The Singularity is Near, Ray Kurzweil, to educate, inspire, and empower leaders to apply exponential technologies to address humanity's grand challenges. The singularity was Kurzweil's term for a hypothetical point in the future when artificial intelligence would become trillions of times more powerful than our human minds, ushering in a new civilization that allows us to transcend the limitations of our biological bodies and brains by merging with our technology. A cool notion, if a little scary. While Kurzweil, who now leads Google's AI division, foresaw a utopia in which our augmented minds achieved unimaginable feats of cognition, others envisioned a human face crushed forever under a hyper-intelligent robot boot. Singularity University, SU, to believers, could be interpreted as Kurzweil's effort to tip the outcome towards the former. Brett Schilke had recently been appointed SU's Director of Youth and Educator Engagement. It was his job to be obsessed with the future. He was careful to distinguish it from education or school of learning. Since at least Aristotle, we've been drawing a distinction between what happens within the four walls of a classroom and an ideal form of learning. For instance, Mark Twain is supposed to have written that you shouldn't let your boy's schooling interfere with his education. Even the World Bank's 2017 World Development Report, which was completely dedicated to education for the first time ever, now opens starkly with the idea that schooling is not the same as learning. I think there's something in this, as you can tell from the title of my book. Behind him hung a painting of a robot on a Harley-Davidson, leaping from a tower of iced donuts towards a golden horizon. He spoke fast, ideas puttering up like popcorn in the microwave. "It's a super exciting time to, like, be alive," he said. "That sounds really corny, but it is. It's awesome. It's just so unexpected, what you can do every day." He looked at me with clear eyes. "It's wild." He was talking about how technology was changing the world, and how the world and our schools had to change with it. In Silicon Valley, the idea that we humans are capable of more was as commonplace as the belief that technology is a purely positive force. Schilke had drunk that Kool-Aid. In fact, he added, that we must learn and create together to achieve our machine-assisted potential. For historical reasons, we were not yet doing this. "We have a system that was designed for the Industrial Revolution. That's where modern education came from. We needed to produce a massive workforce that does simple tasks over and over and over and over. And how do you do that? Well, let's get them when they're young and teach them to sit up straight and raise their hand." He paused, a little hysteria in his voice. "It's all about building this almost militarized group of people." This was broadly true. Education systems had been influenced by a militaristic model. In the 1830s, Horace Mann, then Education Secretary in Massachusetts, pioneered a statewide form of schooling that became the basis for free and universal education in the U.S. The model was inspired by a visit he had taken to Prussia, a country renowned for its strict hierarchies, obedience to power, and military might, where a few decades earlier, Frederick the Great had signed into law the world's first national system of education. That paradigm, strengthened by the ideas of industrialization, mechanization, and massification, came to define universal education systems that soon cropped up all over the world. But thanks to computers and other new technologies, Schilke felt that finally these notions were being challenged. "I'd made Silicon Valley the first stop on my journey into the global learning revolution so that I could find out how." The techno-humanists of the Bay Area exerted a powerful influence over our view of the future, and I wanted to know what artificial intelligence could tell us about the power of our own minds. Was human learning becoming obsolete, as some suggested, or could we use computers to augment our brain power to unimaginable levels? I thought we risked underestimating our own natural capabilities, fittingly adapted over millions of years of evolution, and instead had to think anew about our own capacity for learning in the digital age. If we could better understand our brains and learn to use our technology wisely, the potential might be much greater than we realized.